Good evening and welcome to Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. And later on Building Bridges, janitors starve at University of Miami while its president lives high on the hog.
Well, I will tell you, Ken, what kind of a society is this? My goodness, as labor leaders are dragged off to jail. So Roger Toussaint spends 10 days in jail. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. Defending workers' rights buys union leader jail time.
Well, let me tell you, this crowd on the Brooklyn side in front of the Supreme Court building was very spirited. The people who were speaking, the labor leaders, the clergy, the political leaders were very eloquent, but the labor movement needs to do a better job of getting the troops out. There were maybe 1,000, 1,200, 1,300 people there. There should have been 10,000. This is a very important issue. Criminalizing the labor relations system in this country, putting labor leaders in jail. This should not be happening. We have to do a better job. We did a good job. It was good that we had the demonstration, but we need more and better demonstrations.
Get rid of the Taylor Law, which makes it illegal to strike if you're a public worker. But, Ken, let's excite people by the reality that people were out there.
They were out there. It was good the demonstration was done. There were a lot of people who were very enthusiastic. And we're going to hear right now, starting with the Reverend Al Sharpton, and then a number of labor leaders, a mix of labor leaders after that, giving you a flavor of that demonstration. What they said was right on, but we need to organize.
So we're going straight to sound on the arrest and jailing of TWU Local 100 President Roger Toussaint.
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
What do we want?
Justice.
What do we want?
Justice.
When do we want it?
Now.
When do we want it?
Now.
When do we want it?
Now.
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
All right. We come today because there has been a misconception that we would sit by and silently allow them to criminalize workers' rights to organize. What happened in this court is a legal disgrace and a betrayal to the civil rights and labor history of these United States. This union, under Roger Toussaint, did all it could to avoid a strike. MTA would not come to the table and talk about pensions and talk about proper wages. They wanted people to work with no contracts. They wanted people to work with no guaranteed future. And this union did what unions have always had to do. They had to stand up for the short term to win the long term. So when they did that, the reaction is what they always try to do. They try to intimidate us. They try to penalize us. But they don't know who they're messing with. Roger Toussaint comes from the bloodline of those that take jail cells to open up society. Roger Toussaint comes from the lineage of Martin Luther King and A. Philip Randolph and Nelson Mandela. Can't no jail cell lock us up. We can only go to sleep for 10 days to come out to sign our new pension plan. And to show us how much we will not be intimidated by you locking Roger up, some of us are going to stay outside since you wouldn't give us a cell. We are not going to let Roger do this time by himself. The arrogance to say that they didn't care about the little people. They are the little people. Who do you think the transit workers are? They're the ones that bring us to work in the morning. They're the ones that bring our children to school in the morning. They're the ones that ride in the cold nights with no coffee shops open. You don't know who little people are till you ride the subway 3 o'clock in the morning. You don't know about inconvenience till you wait on the bus 6 in the morning. We know why you punishing Toussaint. Because he interfered with the fourth quarter Christmas earnings of the big boys. But he chose little people's pensions over big boys' shopping profits. And that's why we stand with Roger. But they can call us names. They can call us thugs. They can give us jail sentences. They can give us fines. We come through worse than this, and we gonna come through this. And let me say something to some of us that come out of these communities of struggle. Don't let them con you. Talk about 2 days of inconvenience. They walked for a year and 2 days in Montgomery, Alabama. They said it was better to walk in dignity than to ride in shame. And if they hadn't walked in Montgomery, we'd be riding the back of the bus in New York. So we walk in with Roger across that bridge. We want the whole world to see no turning back, no selling out, no intimidation, no backing down. The TWU is you and me. We with you, Roger. We're going to be there every step of the way. No justice. No justice. No justice. No justice. All right.
We have with us John Delgado, the president of Local 79, the Laborers International, and Stuart Applebaum, the president of the Retail Workers Department Store Union.
Brothers and sisters, today is a day defined history, because if making the life better for a working fellow man is a crime, then I'm a criminal. Because that's what I do for a living. Because that's what we do for a living. Helping out the working class people. You know what unites us here today from all different sectors is this. A union book. Solidarity. Together we stand, Roger, with you, side by side, in good times and in bad times.
I'm Stuart Applebaum. I'm president of the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union, UFCW. And I'm here today to tell you that the members of the RWDSU are proud to stand with Roger Toussaint and with our brothers and sisters of TWU Local 100. Just a short time from now, Roger will walk across the Brooklyn Bridge and turn himself in to begin his 10-day jail sentence. And for what reason? For standing up for the 34,000 hard-working members of his union to make sure they got the wages and health and pension benefits they deserve, for ensuring that his members would get the respect they deserve in the workplace. That is what unions do. We stand up for working men and women. We work every day to make sure that New York City maintains its middle class by fighting for jobs with decent pay and decent benefits, and to make sure that every day the working men and women of the city have a voice that will be heard. And why is it only Roger is being punished by going to jail? Where are the penalties for the MTA? who for weeks and months were not negotiating in good faith. Why is just Roger paying for the inability to reach a fair and equitable agreement by the contract deadline? It is time for the MTA to do its part and accept the contract that was recently ratified overwhelmingly by the members of Local 100. Today, I would be no place else because I am standing with a leader who is being punished for standing up for the right thing. Labor must stand together. We must support each other. The working men and women of the city have too much at stake to do otherwise. Brothers and sisters, you have our support. You have our solidarity. Thank you.
And I have the honor to introduce to you today someone that knows how to fight for what's right. Someone that knows how to lead a fight for what's right. Someone that knows when it's time to push and when it's time to shove. Someone that stands up for every union worker in this city. My brothers and sisters, the person who's leading this fight for us all, a person I'm honored and privileged to stand with, Roger Toussaint, the leader of the labor movement in this great city.
Okay, brothers and sisters, let me just say that it is my honor to be standing here today and to be about to turn myself in, because I'm here with family. I'm here with my union family, and I'm here with my community family. Every working man and woman in New York City knows what we have been put through, what working people have been put through for the past several years. Firefighters died in the World Trade Center, they get no contracts. The cops keep the streets safe, they get no contracts. The teachers teach our children, they get no contracts. DC 37 works for years, no contracts. And they were saying that transit workers should follow that same route. Well, we have tried, working people have tried to obey the law, and we have gotten nothing but insults for it. So when transit workers said that our deadline is the deadline in December, we knew that we were taking a stand on behalf of all working men and women in New York City, on behalf of decency, because we believe that hard work should be rewarded with pensions and health benefits and living standards that we can be proud of, rather than declining living standards. So I stand here before you today. I will do 30 years before transit workers surrender. Never on my watch will they ever, ever bow and cower transit workers, ever. Even if the judge had given me 30 years, I will gladly walk through those prisons, gladly stand up for the dignity of working men and women. So brothers and sisters, let's begin our march. Join me. Let's cross the bridge. Let's go.
Whether it's the TWU workers, the president of whom is going to jail this evening, or it's our sisters and brothers, the janitors at the University of Miami. Now, if you don't know, there are janitors and student supporters and union leaders who were forced onto a hunger strike as part of a labor dispute. Dr. Donna Shalala, the university president and former Secretary of Health and Human Services under Bill Clinton, she turns a blind eye, perhaps, damaged by the glitter of a $500,000 plus salary a year on the janitors who earn less than $17,000 a year and seek union recognition.
With us is Alicio Medina, who's the executive vice president of the Service Employees International Union, and he is on the hunger strike, and he is with Maria Leonor Ramirez, who has terminated her participation in the hunger strike but is still on strike at the University of Florida. Maria, what are the conditions that you work under that led you to this strike?
Estuvimos en huelga de hambre porque estamos defendiendo el derecho de todos los trabajadores de la Universidad UN y porque queremos tener el cambio aquí en el estado de la Florida, ¿no? Porque el derecho del
We are on hunger strike because we want to defend the rights of all workers at the University of Miami. So our rights at the university have been trampled upon, we've been mistreated, and when the union got here, and they got here just in time so that we could take action to counteract what was happening.
Donna Shalala, the president, earns $516,000, and the workers earn, by and large, $17,000. And she's considered generally a liberal. Why is she not supporting the workers?
Bueno, simple y sencillamente porque ella no quiere ayudar.
She doesn't want to help us.
Porque, bueno, ella no sé cómo es que estuvo en la Casa Blanca y ella era trabajadora para la salud del pobre. Y no entiendo yo cómo ella...
I just don't understand how it was that she got to work in the White House and work for poor people's health. She certainly doesn't seem to care for the health of us here in Miami. We just don't know why she's not supporting us, but it's obvious to us that she has a heart of stone.
Maria, speaking of health, how is your health? I know you just recently got off the hunger strike. What was that like and how are you feeling now?
Mi experiencia fue muy bonita, fue muy espiritual, fue muy buena porque pude conocer a mucha gente que estaba a mi lado, que tenía apoyo de toda la comunidad.
For me, it was a beautiful, spiritual, and good experience. I met a lot of really good people, a lot of people who really supported us from the community and friends. And I'm feeling pretty well right now. I'm not eating solid food just yet, which is what the doctor ordered. So I'm feeling a little weak, but overall, I'm feeling stronger than ever.
I want to bring Alicio Medina into the discussion. Roger Toussaint, president of TWU Local, was dragged off to, although proudly and dignifiedly, to jail. And here we have Alicio, executive vice president of SEIU, similarly involved in a hunger strike. What is going on out there that has caused people to have to get to this precipice?
Things in America are not going well for working people. Today, we have more poor people than ever before, at the same time that there are more millionaires than any time in our history. We're losing health care. We got 45 million people without it. Pension plans under attack. Jobs are being exported overseas. And the labor movement, which has been the defender of working people, is in a difficult place because only 13.5% of the American people belong to unions. If this is going to change, we cannot be doing business as usual. We have to be more aggressive. We also need to invest time and resources in uniting more workers into our union so that we can have an impact. And finally, for me personally, the reason I'm involved in this fast is because I was so inspired by the example of Leonor and Clara and all of her co-workers when I saw them willing to sacrifice and to struggle in an effort to reach out to Ms. Shalala and say, open your heart to the suffering of the people that work for you, and it takes one word from you to solve this problem. And I was so inspired by their example that I decided that leaders, to be successful, sometimes need to be followers, and I'm proud to be following the example that Leonor and Clara has set.
There's a contractor called Unico that the university contracts with. Are they not willing to sign with the union? Is it Shalala's fault? What exactly is going on there?
It's Donna Shalala's ultimate responsibility because she contracts with Unico. She could tell them what to do, but she refuses to do so. Unico is a company that we have contracts with around the country who has agreed through card check elections to let workers choose for themselves if they want the union. We had a similar conflict at Harvard. The workers went out on strike. There was tremendous student support, like here in Miami. The difference between the president of Harvard and Donna Shalala Venezuela is that the president of Harbor said to UNICO, if you don't settle this, we'll get somebody else. That strike was settled in a matter of weeks. Here in the University of Miami, we don't understand why Dr. Shalala won't make a decision to get this thing resolved.
Maria, Dr. Shalala has said that workers were given a pay increase from $6.40 to $8.55, and they were also given health coverage. So she maintains that she does not understand what the complaints are actually about.
Simplemente ella está diciendo que a nosotros nos ha aumentado el sueldo, pero allá adentro se sabe que no es así, que no lo ha aumentado. Y prácticamente el seguro que ella nos está, supuestamente dice ella que está dando.
When you look at the health insurance that Donna Shalala has given us, you see that we really haven't really gotten a raise. The health insurance is too expensive for us. Even though there's been a raise, we're going to end up losing that money simply in paying for health insurance.
Alicio, Dr. Shalala insists on secret ballot election, but SEIU wants to have a union-granted recognition as soon as a majority of janitors sign cards saying they favor a union. I'm not sure everybody understands the significance of that issue.
There are two ways in which a union can be recognized. One is through an election supervised by the National Labor Relations Act, and one is through a process where a majority of workers sign cards authorizing the union to represent them, and when a majority signs, the union is granted recognition. UNICO has engaged in harassment. They've engaged in retaliation. They fired workers. They've made threats. We filed the NLRB charges, and the complaints against the company had been issued. But the process with the NLRB is so long that it could be years before the charges are heard and resolved. And in the meantime, workers get so intimidated that no fair election is possible. We're saying that the atmosphere is so poisoned that the best way to resolve this is to have a card check process. We can have an impartial third party check them. And if a majority is there, then the union should be recognized. This is the exact same process that has been used by UNICO around the country to recognize a union. It is a legitimate process. They have used it before. We do not understand why it cannot be utilized at the University of Miami. And the only conclusion that we come to, given the fact that UNICO has used it multiple times, is that the main obstacle must be President Shalala.
Have you met with President Shalala?
We have tried different times to have discussions. When the students had a sit-in at her office, they met with her, and she said that she was going to convene a meeting of the company and the union. But at that meeting, the university representatives took a position that there would be no process other than the NLRB process. And she has not gotten directly involved in meeting with either the workers or the union representatives to try and solve this problem.
There are 425 janitors that are subjected to this process, and we should say that 4 of the 10 janitors who began fasting 2 weeks ago had to stop for health reasons, including one who suffered a minor stroke. Maria, tell us more about the overall health of those people who have been and are on hunger strike.
Los que salieron primero, que bueno, fue por problemas de salud, ellos están, ya se están reintegrando nuevamente porque a uno le dio un stroke y él se está recuperando, los otros igual. Estamos volviendo a la normalidad porque después de tanto tiempo.
We're reintegrating, as you said. One of our co-workers had a stroke, but slowly we're all recovering and things are returning to normal. After being on hunger strike for such a long time, we're still very weak. I still feel very weak, but slowly but surely we're reintegrating ourselves.
And if I may add, on Friday when the workers ended their fast, 3 of the 5 that were still on the fast had to be taken to the hospital, including Maria Leonor, who is on this program with us tonight. And this was a tremendous sacrifice. They were without food for 17 days, while I think that their bodies got weaker, their spirits got stronger, and they are more committed than ever to ensure that their voices are heard and that they achieve their objectives. And this is what's so inspiring to the rest of us, and Leonor is one of my heroes for having set that example for us.
Alicio, you're now on a hunger strike. President Andy Stern of SEIU is on a hunger strike. You've had major civil rights speakers come down to the university. The students are with you. You've had a demonstration in Washington, D.C. There have been demonstrations throughout the country in universities. What's next?
I'm prepared to continue with this fast as long as my body holds out and the university refuses to recognize the workers. We're going to be escalating the pressure. We are going to be having a march, and there's a whole series of people from around the country that are going to be coming to Miami. It will be culminating on May the 12th when there will be a commencement at the University of Miami. We hope that it will be resolved before then. If it's not, this cause is not going to end, and it's going to continue to May 12th and beyond if necessary.
Given the renewal of the immigrant debates that are raging in the Senate, tell us what immigrants contribute to this economy.
What's going on in this country, where immigrants, over 2.5 million of them, marched in 120 cities in 38 states, and they were all demanding one very simple thing. We want recognition for the contributions that we make to this country. We are not criminals. We are workers who come to this country searching for the American dream. We pay taxes. We do everything that everyone else does, and we should not be criminalized. This is not a movement simply for legalization. This is a movement for workers being able to earn living wages, of having access to health care, of making sure that the schools that their children go to have enough resources, that they have access to decent housing. This is all what the American dream is, and this is what these workers are fighting for. And the fight in Miami is part and parcel of a bigger picture of immigrants trying to do what immigrants before them did, to incorporate themselves into society and to also be treated with fairness and respect.
And we commend Maria Leonora Ramirez and all the striking janitors, their supporters, and yourself, Alicio Medina, Executive Vice President of SEIU. We're with you, and we expect victory.
And this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.